Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Aleph Iyar, Monday the 16th of April, Rabbi Shimon Katz, Understanding Aaron's Reaction.
A good Chodesh, everybody. First of all, Poskim Kavod Achsanya. I want to thank the Olim for coming, and the organizers, Mr. Iskowitz, and I feel very honored, especially Mr. Herbert and Shimon Bowden, all different Yedidim that I have here in the Kehillah, and of course Chosh Vital and Tully Friedman came special. Anyway, and of course. As we say in the Chumash, as Asher Poyimon Hayoyim, as Asher Einenu Poyimon, which are on listening online or whatever. I want to thank everybody. Anyway, I'd like to get to the topic. It's hard sometimes to speak to an Olam I don't know. So I like to open up with a little story, as I say in English, my English. I'm not the Queen's English, but whatever. It's the offshoot. Instead of break the ice. So, a Yadid of mine from here told me an interesting story. He's a person that does a lot of chesed, a lot of Mamish, you all know him, he's known. And he's involved in opening schools all over the country. We have Laser Pearl, Benjamin Pearl. And he told me an interesting story, which I think is a very interesting story. He told me once they heard about him in America. So they invited him to speak at the Torah Masorah Convention, one of the conventions. And he was going to be the keynote speaker, the keynote speaker. It was a whole Shabbaton. And the whole Shabbos came out, nobody said boo to him. Which I don't understand. Americans are usually very friendly and outgoing people. But whatever, for some reason, you know, people just were maybe intimidated. I don't know what they would. But one person somewhere along the Shabbos went over to him and said, Shalom Aleichem. And I heard you're the keynote speaker. So he said, yes. And he says, so did you prepare? You have your portfolio and your whole, all your you know, he's not, you know, all your papers, blah, blah, blah. He looks at him and says, papers? What papers? What are you talking about? So the guy was a little bit like taken aback. What, like this person's coming and speaking without any preparation, sort of to say, you know, statistics for, you know. So he went over to the organizer and he told the organizer, you know, you know who you brought here, because, you know, I spoke to him, and they asked him, does he have his statistics, papers, blah, you know, the whole thing, you know. And he said he doesn't have any papers, nothing. So the organizer started getting nervous also, and I just heard about it, who did I bring it in? So he went over to him, and he said to him like this, you know, I heard that you're not really, you know, but he didn't say it that way, maybe said some, you know, in America they're usually straightforward, but he sort of like, you know, he said, I heard that, you know, like, you know, you don't have any statistics, portfolio, whatever. So he said, yeah. So he said, look, I never heard you speak. I have no idea, but I'll tell you one thing. If I like the way you're speaking, then I'm going to go like this. And if I'm not happy, I'm going to go like this. That means, you know, finish quickly and go your own way, go your merry way. So he got up there. And the guy was going this. He was going crazy, you know, because he has a way of speaking. You know, he's got to speak in public, and he had the place rolling and whatever. I mean, for an Englishman, that's pretty good. Anyway, but in truth, I'll tell you a secret. He's not really English. He comes from abroad. But anyway, He did a good job. I just want to break the ice. I said, I'm hoping that you people, after I finish, you're going to go like this, like this. All right. Anyway, let's get down to business. I'll tell you, when I read the parsha, I know I'm sorry I'm speaking last week's parsha, but I will, we'll see, we'll get into this week's parsha also. And somebody said to me, what? It's last week's parsha. First of all, full Tuesday is still considered last week. But anyway, the reason why I also chose the topic, because this topic really comes up a lot. Unfortunately, this is part of life. And people sometimes don't know how to relate to it. And that's why I'm talking about it. So what am I talking about? The tragic death of the sons of Aaron. And Aaron's reaction, Vayidoim Aaron. Now, I can say myself, I had a little bit of a feeling of this. Because Nebuch, my father, Zechron Levrach, whose yeshiva that, you know, my yeshiva is named after him. And Nebuch was Nifter at 59, and his two parents, who were close to 90, were still alive. And after the Shiva, you know, my father used to own a hotel. They used to own a hotel in the Catskills, and so, you know, the Hamish Hotel, people used to come from all over the world. And after the Shiva, it was very hard. It was like right at the Sukkos. The whole thing was very difficult. And after the whole Shiva, so my grandparents were walking, and I was walking opposite them, and they're walking together, and they faced me, and they looked at me, and I saw tears in their eyes. And my grandfather, usually Yekish don't know how to show too much emotion, but this is one of the few times that he actually did show some sort of emotion. And they were practically crying to me, and they said, we lost our kaddishu. Because my father was an only son. And believe me, I was broken myself, and I didn't know how to, you know. But Hashem gave me the right words to say to them. I said to them, they weren't so learned, but I explained it to them. Berei kara davua, the famous expression that the son is like the leg of the father. So I told them, I will say Kaddish for you. I'm a bimkrim, it's not the same, I understand, but you know. And with that I was able to be menachem them. But I got it to hear what it was to lose an only child, an only son. They had two daughters. So I had firsthand I saw the pain. So I can imagine the pain that Aaron, two sons, and they were Choshev's sons, Chazal, there's so much Chazal that say, talk about them, they were Kedoshim, and Moshe and Aaron said they were better, you know, V'chula V'chula, there's so much that they had, and Aaron loses these two elders, the Bechor and the next one, how much it must have hurt him. And the Pasuk says, Vayidoim. So the first question is, like, what's the understanding? What happened over here? What did he do? What was he? Vayidoim, that's the next question. And this is what I'm really built on today. Vayidoim is a very, very strange terminology. It's not, never used. Usually when you're talking Hebrew and anything, Lashon HaKodesh, it's shtika. Shtika means to be quiet. Shosak. Vayidoim is a very, very strange lashon, and it needs to be. What's the pshat in it? It just doesn't. It comes from the word. There are four different things in the world. There's doimim, tzomeach, chai. There's all different matters in the world. Doimim is like a rock. Very strange. What is this Lashon Doimim? And this is going to be the focus of, you know, so I have two interesting questions that I'm asking today. First of all, understanding Aaron, how he was able to relate to this, how he did it, and the inyan of what the pshat in Doimim. But I also, I'm adding on another question. I'm adding a question from Pesach. Because, you know, Pesach was just a week ago. And we have to realize that we have to take a yontif with us. We can't leave it behind. You know, we forget what it was. And especially Shvi, which is the Shira. And it's a very interesting, you know, the matzav of Klai Yisrael, they came to a level of Shira, Oz, Yoshe, Moshe, Bnei Yisrael. It was a tremendous elevation. You know, a tremendous sight, Ma'amad. And, you know, Ad Kekach, there's all kind of Midrashim that in the future also, there'll be Oz then, in the future, Schizmeisim, and all these Midrashim. But there's one Midrash which is very, very interesting. The Midrash says that why did the Torah use the Lashon Oz? Because it's a tikkun to Moshe Rabbeinu when he said in the beginning of at the end of Shmois, Umei Oz, and from the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me, things didn't get better, they got worse, and he had tinus on Hashem. The Dosin Vaviram came, and it was a whole thing. So the reason why the Torah uses Lashon Oz, Yashir, is the tikkun to the Umei Oz. Now, obviously, needs some explanation. What is this? It's a nice shetl over here. Oz, you know. Is there a shava? I don't know what it doesn't fit in. Oh. So to answer these questions, I want to enlighten you with a shmooz which I heard from my Rebbe. I'm sure he's spoken here many times. A Rav Agon, Rav Svi Kushalovsky, Shlita Zolzayn Gesundn Stark, you should be well. And many, many years ago, like I was like to be under his tutelage, literally, and Imamish was mechanech me in learning and everything, and it was, I still don't have enough of him, and I try to keep a kesher with him. But he said many, many years ago, over 30 years ago, he said a shmooz for the Olam. And this was the basic idea, Shmuz. He asked a question. The question is like this. There are two Gemaras that talk about the concept of Gamzul HaToyva. We all heard of Gamzul HaToyva. Everybody knows Gamzul HaToyva. One Gemara is the Gemara in Brachas. And the Gemara in Brachas says a story of Rabbi Akiva. I'm sure you know about it, but I'll just for kids to tell it over to you. The story goes the following, that Rabbi Akiva was traveling, and he had with him a donkey, a chicken, and a candle. Now, a donkey is partially needed to travel. A chicken, what would it be a chicken for? A chicken is a rooster to wake him up in the morning. You get up by seeking, you know? And a candle, because he learned at night. Anyway, he walked into a town to find a place to sleep, and nobody opened the door. Nobody. He was getting, you know, they slammed it, whatever, they didn't answer, so he realized, okay, I gotta go out to the field somewhere, because I guess nobody's opened their doors, and that's the end of the story. So he went out to the field, and he's settling himself, well, and all of a sudden, a lion comes and eats the donkey. All right, it's not too exciting, and he's happy that his life wasn't taken either. The lion, you know. Next thing, a wind blows out the candle, and then a fox comes and eats the chicken. And every time that something happened, he said, "Kol the Avid Rachmona Letav." Whatever Hashem does is for the good. That was the story of Kiva. Now the Gemara in Brachas earlier. In the ninth parak of Nafsamach, now earlier the Gemara Brachas says that a Talmud is mechuyev to use the lashon of his Rebbe. That's it says. So we all know that Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Nochem Ish Gamzi. His earlier Rebbe was Nochem Ish Gamzi. And the raya to that is there's a Gemara Pesachim in the second parak. It's a beautiful Gemara. And the Gemara Pesachim in the second parak says that Nochem Amsuni, who the Beforshim say is Nochem Ish Gamzi, Nochem Amsuni, had a drasha for every S in the Torah. Every S in the Torah. Now this is, I'm going on a side point, but it's so beautiful, the story. He had a drasha for every S And you can imagine, you know how many S's though I got by Yaakov. We learned a few of Yaakov Bakuri. You can imagine go, it's for Baal Kore, S, you have to figure out which one it is. It's Mamish, you know, and can you imagine how many S's there are? He must have had add pages and pages and pages of for a Sefer, you know? And he had that. So anyway, all of a sudden he came to one S, which is in next week's parasha, it's Hashem Alekecha Tira. And he could not figure out what could be, what, Hashem Alekecha, how can I come, what could be connected as Hashem Alekecha Tira. And he, you know, breaking his head, trying to figure out, comes along his Talmud. That's why we say Talmud, Yais Mikulam. His Talmud, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi, I got a pshat. What's a pshat? Es l'rabish Talmidei Chachomim. The Rebbeim, Talmidei Chachomim, that a person has to fear is Talmidei Chachomim, the Rebbeim. And that way he comes to Es Hashem L'kech Atiyah. That's how he comes to coming to fear Hashem. That's the drasha. He would have ready the Midas Ha'Emes of Nachum Mishgam and Nachum Amsuni. He was ready to throw away all his pages of drushes. He was ready to get rid of it. It's not Emes. I can't find one drasha. It's all not Emes. And then Rabbi Kiva saved him. So you see, Rabbi Kiva was a Talmud. He's a good Talmud, not stop a Talmud, but a very good Talmud. So the answer to the question is, we all know the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, that Nachum Ish Gamzu went to the emperor, and he had a whole treasure chest full of goodies. And then on the way there, the innkeeper took it, replaced it with dirt. He comes to the Roman emperor, and he brings the box of what he thinks is jewels and everything. And it comes in and says, dirt. So they said, what's going on here? The Jews are making fun of me. Nachum Ish Gamzu said that Gamzu L'Toyva, and then Hashem made Eliyahu become dressed up as one of the guards and said, Your Highness, you don't read the Bible? What the Jewish Bible says that Abraham when he fought with the Malachim, with the, you know, the kings over there, him and Eliezer, the servant, they took dirt. And they threw the dirt and it turned into spears, and that's how they won. So this is probably from them, from that dirt. So the emperor, you know, what do you think I am? Reading storybooks? I believe he's kind of meislach. You know, what do you think I'm a chassid? I believe everything that they tell me with all these stories? Okay, test it out. They sent that, they had a problem with one country. They sent it up to the front. And lo and behold, it turned into spears. They won. They came back and said it worked. And they took all the dirt out of the box, and they put jewels and everything back into the box. When he came back, on the way back, so you know, he learned by Brahma Bina, we don't change our hotels. So he goes back to the same hotel. They couldn't believe that. What are you guys? Where you come from? What did you bring to the emperor? Says, what we left from here, we brought there. So they went on their own way, and then the emperor, the hotel says, well, they took all the dirt, they raised down the whole hotel, took all the dirt, and they brought it to the emperor. Said, the Jews took the dirt from us. The emperor says, yeah, let's test it out. They tested it out, and it didn't do anything. They had him killed. So you see, the big nisim that Nachum Ish Gamzu, so how can Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, why didn't he use the same terminology as his Rebbe? He held his Rebbe so much. Same, why are you saying kol the, I make up a new thing, kol the Avi Rachman on the top, say Gamzu the Toiva. That's the kasha that my Rebbe asked. And he gave a magnificent tenet. And the Teretz is like this. There are two different madregas here. It's not a nice idea, a concept, you know, and it's the same thing. No, there are two different levels. Two different levels of Amunah and Hashem. The level of Rabbi Kiva, he couldn't match the level of his Rebbe. His level was, you know what, I don't understand. Call the Ovid Rachman on the top, somehow. Whatever Hashem does is going to come out to the good. To me, this looks tragic. The candle was blown out. This was blown out. I've got to tell you the end of that story. The end of that story was is that that night bandits came and ransacked their army together. They killed out the whole town. And had he been there, had he been there in that town, he would have been swept away. And had the candle been lit, and the donkey been around on the rooster, that army would have heard them, and they would have captured and they would have killed them also. So he said, "I didn't understand. He didn't understand what everything that they called the other one. I don't understand. It doesn't look good in my eyes. It looks terrible. It looks tragic. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to come out good." That was Nochem Ishkamsu. I mean, that was Rabbi Kiva. Nochem Ishkamsu was a higher level. Word gam is Lashon Ribui, means to, it adds in. Gam means that what looks like bad, no, it's not bad, it's good. It's good. I don't understand it, but it's good. That's why he was like in such a nest, that the sin became the Yeshua. The sin, which was bad, that was good. That's a tremendous madriga. And that was the level of Nochem Ishkamsu. Rabbi Akiva couldn't come to that. There's no question about it that, let's get to that and answer the question. No question about Aaron HaKohen, for sure. For sure it was on that level. And that was also what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to hint. Why did he say Oz Yashir? Because Moshe Rabbeinu fell into the trap. He had thought it was terrible, the Yeshibud, what was going on. When it came to the Shir Sayam, he understood everything with that. Even the Shibud was good. Because as he says later on in Devarim, he calls Mitzrayim Kur HaBarzel, that Mitzrayim made us. We became who we were. We became a nation. We became El Avdei Hashem from Mitzrayim. The Etzem Mitzrayim built us. And he understood that. That's one mahalak. He also understood that the whole thing of the Shibud was all to bring the glory of Hashem. There are two different truths, and that the Beis Halevi says. But the different truths. But anyway, which I want to say, Moshe Rabbeinu chapt the Nekuda. But Rabbi Sai, all this is wonderful, except the last question it doesn't really answer. Vayidayim. What's this Lashon Vayidayim? Vayidayim means stung. Adarabba! If this is the Pshat, God of the Torah, he should have been the Simcha. What is this? A stone is like this, Vayidayim. I was mamish raking my brains on this one. I said, how do you understand it? Because even the God of the time, it's wonderful to answer. It doesn't answer it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu enlightened me with a mimer from Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim from the Mir. And that blew my mind. But before I tell you this mimer, I have to give you an introduction, a small introduction. And that is, we really are not at the level of this, what he says. And if you ever look at a picture of Rabbi Yeruchim, you see that in Rabbi Yeruchim. You see what he's going to say over here in Rabbi Yeruchim. I can't tell you, but how are we going to relate to this? I'll tell you how. We have to first do the first two madrigas, Rabbi Akiva, and get Nochem Ishkamsu. I'll virus get to that. And through that, you'll get to the last level. And this is the Aaron. And what is that? So if Yeruchim, it's first of all the Sefer on the Yom Tovim, and he talks about Amunah, and he says the following. He says there are two types of relationships. Two types of relationships. One relationship is Talmud Rebbe. What's a Talmud Rebbe? A Talmud Rebbe is, I don't understand my Rebbe, I lay a shilas. I don't understand it. So, in a shir, I go to shir, I have a question, I ask him, he gives me an answer. I ask him again, he gives me an answer. I ask him, he gives me an answer. That's a Talmud Rebbe relationship. And that's a normal relationship that we're exposed to. A rav is the same thing. A person has a question. He asks his rav the questions. Rav answers. He asks him back. He challenges it again. Back and forth and back and forth. And then there's a relationship which we bechlau. In England, maybe have a little deher, but the whole world today, the democratic world, wow, has no musag. And that's called relationship, a subject to the king. A subject to the king. Yeah. Or the queen. And believe me, what we have today here, forget about it, it's lost. It's not the same thing. And he brings down a Gemara in Chulin, and a Gemara in Chulin that says that other brings a pasuk other muvehema toshia Hashem, and the Gemara says these are the people that make themselves kibehema. I'm just giving you a kisser. In other words, there's a concept of having total respect and awe for the malchus, for the king. It's not even, it doesn't even come into a level of even akasha. Because you know, is that the problem today? We know, the leaders today are all politicians. They're interested in their own skin. They're not interested in the people. But the real melech, which the Torah talks about, David HaMelech, who will be Mashiach, the king of Mehrabi Yameinu, the real melech cared about the people. And the Eved, the subjects, knew clearly that the melech, and there's no question, there's not even a happening thing, the melech is, he knows everything, and this is the Indian that he brings down. I'm just giving you, very, because you ever look at the picture of Rabbi Yeruchim, he looks like an Eved, straight, you know, like a soldier. That's that picture, famous picture, that he looks like a soldier. This is the pshat. Now I understand. Vayidaim Aaron. Vayidaim Aaron is mamish, like a soldier, like an Evan. Dome. Didn't move. No reaction. I have no time, nothing. No reaction. I am like a servant in front of the king. That is the highest of highest of highest. He didn't entertain a thought. That's what he brings down, any of that subject. In front of the king. There's no even havamina to even ask. There's no even havamina to even think that there's something wrong, that the king doesn't care about me. There's not even a thought that way. That's the inyan of Aaron. That was the godless of Aaron. I want to say that I know myself, I'm nowhere near there. But it's something to think about. It's something to scratch the brain with. But I wanted to say one thing, that halavai, that we should be zoicha to the other two levels. And that's what, if we work on the other two, God's the Torah, but understanding that, we'll come to the third level of understanding. This is Hashem cares, you know his best. Who am I to think? I don't know the master plan, there's so much going on out there, I have no idea. I'm just an Eved in front of a master. That's it. I just want to end off with a little story, because time is short. But a little story has happened to me right now, to show you the inyan of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestras and gamzel and the Torah and stuff like that. I just came from the States. I'm on a what's called a whirlwind trip over here, all over, because I have to. I never say no to any kid that comes to my door, that the parents they don't have any sufficient funds to help out the kids and everything like that. I always say, if somebody drowning, you say, pay me and I'll save you. That's the way I look at it. So anyway, I was in the state, I was from one city to the other. Sometimes I always have a joke. I wake up in the morning and say, where am I? But this trip, I could say that. So I was in one city, and I sometimes, because I try to save money for the yeshiva, I do things which my wife says, why are you doing that? So one of the things I did, I was flying from Los Angeles to JFK, and then I had to take a train or bus, whatever, from JFK to LaGuardia. In LaGuardia, I had a friend, I was going to give him my luggage because I had a different ticket to get to Toronto. And then I was going to come back. It was a whole big bodyguard just to save money for the yeshiva. So it would have been, all of a sudden, I'm in Los Angeles. And my friend, who was going to pick me up, going to take my luggage and keep it over there, I was going to take a few pieces just to go, I was going to hand luggage, so he was going to take me out to eat for supper, whatever, we're going to sit down and shmooze before my plane ride. So I get a text from the airline. There's a storm underway. Okay, storm underway, what storm? You know, it may affect your travel plans. Ah, come on, storm underway, whatever it is. That's the week before. I said, they don't have to talk about something. They call snow and then nothing happens. A few flakes fly down. It happened to me when I was going to... Snowstorm! A few flakes fly down. That's a snowstorm. Anyway, but this time it was real. It was really real. Finally, David, they sent me a text. Your flight has been canceled. I'm sitting there, okay? I'm trying to think, okay, what am I going to do now? All right, whatever. God's a little talking about it. I was thinking to myself, so I called my friend, I said, tell me, how serious is it over there in New York? He said, it's really coming down, and they closed the airports. So I called the airline. I said, listen, you got to do something. You know, I just can't, I'm supposed to fly to Toronto. But the problem was I wasn't using that airline. I was going to a cheap airline. That's how I was able to save money for the yeshiva also. So I said to them, I need to fly. I have to fly east. So what can you do for me? So they said, well, we can maybe fly you, 200 mile radius. That's the only, as I said, I asked them. And my friend said to me, see how this plays out. My friend said, let's see what's going to happen. So I tell them, can you fly me to Toronto? She said, wait, sorry. It's outside of the 200-mile radius. So I say to her, I said, as far as what I see, the snowstorm, the whole thing, there's no airport in the 200-mile radius that will take, that would leave commanding. So you're right, let me check that out. Finally, anyway, she gets back to me. We'll put you to Toronto. I saved myself the whole hassle. I got a flight. And then that's not the end of the story. But they were going to put me through L.A., Austin, Texas, and that's the time when this guy, there was this killer going around Austin, Texas. So I was supposed to fly to Austin, Texas, didn't bother me, Dallas, and it would have been a whole night on planes and airports. Anyway, I got to the airport, I said to him, come on, you can't get me a direct, or send me to Dallas. She said, wait a minute. Yes, I have a one last seat on the flight to Dallas, and I get to Dallas at 7 o'clock in the evening. The connection is 7 o'clock in the morning, 12 hours at the airport. I have a Talmud there in Dallas. I decide I'm going to call my Talmud, but I don't have his number because I wasn't planning to go to Dallas. So I call my friend. I ask him, get that funny. I got the Talmud's number. I call him up. He says, Rebbe, you're in town? Well, I said, not exactly. I'm just on the phone. He said, I'm coming to the airport to pick you up. And he's so happy. I said, I'm leaving at 5 in the morning because I have to be back. No problem. He made a minion for Meyer at 11 o'clock. He got all his neighbors. He figured out how to make a minion for me for Meyer. And 5 o'clock in the morning, he's knocking on my door. Let's go. And he gave me supper. And like that. How Hashem took care of me. I'm not just Gans of the Torah. Everybody has to look in their lives and you see Gans of the Torah. And from that will come to Vayidai. Where we'll come to a feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no kashis, vayidai, we accept it with full faith. And b'schus zeh will be zoicha to the sea, v'hoyo Hashem l'melech, al kol ha'aretz, v'ayoy mahu yeh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Mashiach HaKadosh, the Merit. Thank you very much.